Okay, let's go. Let's just pray about it, guys. Let's just pray about it, yeah? All right, let's pray. Dear kind and heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for giving us your word, Lord. I pray that you be with everyone on the live, that you give us wisdom and understanding and lead us all to truth. Be with those that come in to disrupt and pervert the course of the live, Lord, because they truly need help in regards to what is going on in their lives too. And you are the only one that can heal them and solve those problems. I ask that you bless us in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. Amen. It should be better. I think it should be better. It should be better. Okay. Right. We're going to use this for now. As I said, I'm going to ring them today and see Wagwan. I'm going to ring them today and see what's going on, guys, because this is crazy. This is crazy. They call this internet, do they? They call it internet. Yeah? Okay. Right, let's jump up here. Yeah. Okay, need to tell that problem to give me a... Pee him out. Okay, right. Let's get started, guys. Oh no, we're in the wrong page. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Sorry. Here we are. We're here. We're in Isaiah 58, verse 12, guys. Isaiah 58, verse 12. Builders, not destroyers. And it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. This is what we're meant to be doing, guys. We're meant to be what? We are meant to be what? Destroyers or builders? Which one are we meant to be, guys? Destroyers or builders? I'll read it again. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. We should be builders. We should be builders. And you know what? As I said to you, this is quite funny because, you know, social media is going to be social media, guys, right? If you come on here, you have to expect that there are going to be people that are going to try to destroy you. They're going to try to destroy you all the time. Whether you are doing the most, whether your life is the most perfect life or not, they're going to try and find a way to destroy you. That is all their aim is. They have nothing going on in their lives. And all they want to do is tear you down. All they want to do is rip you apart. And that is the spirit of the enemy. That is the spirit of the enemy in them, because they can't find any which way to be anything but, you know. And we are called to be builders. We're not called to tear other people down or tear anything down. We are called to raise things up. We are called to repair. We are called to be the repairers of the breach, to raise up the foundations of many generations, not just us, but other people as well. So let's see what Isaiah is talking about. Let's see what he's talking about. Let's go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Wait. Isaiah 58. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the Nashville thing, guys. That's why I was asking. Has anyone heard about the Nashville? What's going on in Nashville, or heard about the Nashville prophecy? Has anyone heard about it? Um, No one? Yeah, people have heard about it? Okay. We'll talk about it when I jump down. We'll talk about it when I jump down. But there's been some stuff going on, and I wanted to touch base with you guys about it, especially if you have people over in that side of the world. Okay, so Isaiah 58 is talking about religion. Who asked the question the other day about Sabbaths, how to keep the Sabbath? Who was asking that question the other day? I can't remember who asked the question, but we went here and we spoke about the Sabbath. But this is, Isaiah 58 is talking about the true spirit of personal religion. Personal religion, how we are meant to behave in our personal walk of religion, yeah? This is what it is. Was it you, Izzy? Okay, so the whole chapter gives you more context. It's not just about how to keep the Sabbath. It's also about how to be as a Christian, you know? And he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labours. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Pause. I know I've said a lot. This is talking about fasting. And it's so funny. Maybe we'll go over this again next week, because, you know, we start on the 1st of April on a Monday, guys. So I don't know how you feel about it. You know, I don't celebrate or partake in any of the traditions, right? So, you know, I don't celebrate Easter. So I'm going to start fasting on Monday, but I don't know if you guys want to start on Monday or you want to start on Tuesday. It's up to you. But the fast is going to start next week, Monday. And this is talking about how the fast is meant to be. Like, when you fast, it's because you're afflicted. It's because things have going on in your life. It's because, you know, situations are happening while we fast. You know, we might be struggling with something and our souls are afflicted. But we're not meant to be fasting and be like distressed. It's not meant to be a day that we're meant to be suffering, you know. It's not meant to be a day that we're putting on sackcloth. Remember, when someone's grieving, they put on sackcloth. We're not meant to be doing that and, you know, woe is me, blah, blah, blah. It's saying it's a time where we should be happy, I suppose, because we're going to be loosening the bands of wickedness around us. We're going to be removing the heavy burdens. We're going to feel free when we're doing it. It's meant to be a feeling of releasing oppression rather than feeling oppressed, you know? So that's what it's talking about here. It says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So we're talking about what we're meant to be doing, how we deal with other people. We're meant to give to the hungry, help the poor, cover those who are sinners. When it says cover those who are naked, it's when someone is living God sees us as being naked when we are not covered by Jesus, basically. When we are sinning, we are seen as naked. So we are meant to be, you know, speaking to our brethren, pointing out the errors that they're doing in a nice way, obviously, but we're meant to be covering here. We're meant to be showing them, look, this is what's going on. This is how we get healed. This is how we repent, you know. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. I've always said this before, guys, we're meant to be serving others. We are built to serve. We are built to help people. We are built to help and serve other people, whether that's your husband, whether that's your children, however you see it. And it's showing you that even by doing these things, by helping the poor, by helping the hungry, by covering our brethren, we are doing what? It will improve your health. Your health shall spring forth speedily. It's actually part of our human nature to help other people. You know, and when we don't help other people, when we are destroyers, right? It's only bitterness riles up in your gut, and it actually makes you sick. It actually makes you sick, you know? It says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Hey, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in the obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. This is how to be a Christian. This is what we're meant to be doing, guys. We're meant to be helping others. Do you see how none of what we said, maybe you didn't understand it fully. I'd suggest you read it over again in your own time. But you don't even need to get every single sentence. You don't even need to fully understand every single word I said. The gist of this is saying, help the hungry, help the poor, help others. In doing so, you are literally watering your own garden. You are literally going to bring water to your own home. Yeah, you are going to feel better. Your health is improved. Your mindset is improved. It says, what does it say here? It says, your darkness will be as the noonday. You know what the noonday looks like, right? At noon, the sun is the highest in the sky. So if your darkness is going to be like the noonday, meaning you're not going to have darkness, you're not going to be sad, you're not going to be miserable, right? Because you're doing stuff that is literally going to renew and revitalize your soul. We are built to serve, guys, and be in service to other people, not to focus on the negative and the sad and the bad. We're not built to do that, because that will only bring us down. And at the end of the day, everything that God says that we should do there is a reward, not necessarily in the way that you think, in the sense of, like, you know, materialistic things you may think, not necessarily materialistic things, or even in terms of, you know, salvation. These are just things how we should navigate our way through our human experience. Do you know what I mean? We are meant to be like this, fully in service to others. And when you're not, and I think you can see that when you're not, or when you see other people who have a really bitter and negative mindset, they never get anywhere. I've never seen anyone get anywhere if they have a negative mindset. Nowhere. They just stay miserable. They literally stay in the same position for years and years and years. They never grow. They never improve, you know? So even if you're not a Christian, even if you're not a believer, God's principles always work. And when we focus on other people, when we focus on being in service to other people, we will always, always, always improve, you know? Let's go back to the devotion. I hope I didn't rush that too much and you understood what I was saying. But we are called to be builders and destroyers. Why? Because we are meant to be lifting up other people. How does that help us? By doing so, we actually water our own garden. By helping other people, by being in service to other people, by aiding the poor, aiding those who are naked. Remember, those who are in sin. We are meant to be builders. We are meant to be helping them, yeah? It says, has God no living church? Has he no living church? Who's meant to be doing this, guys? Let's think about it. Who is meant to be the main leaders of the building construction? The church. This is the church's duty. It says, has God no living church? He has a church, but it is the church militant, not the church triumphant. Isn't that sad? We are the church militant. We are the church militia. If you don't know what that means, I'm sure the next few sentences will explain. He has a church, but it's a church militant, not the church triumphant, guys. We are sorry that there are defective members. There are defective members. While the Lord brings into the church those who are truly converted, Satan at the same time brings persons who are not converted into its fellowship. While Christ is sowing good seed, Satan is sowing the tares. There are two opposing influences continually exerted on the members of the church. Imagine, guys, two new members come in. Two new members are going out. Two new members are coming in and being given the word, given the truth. Two new members are coming in and literally causing disruption. As God is doing, so is the enemy. And you might be thinking, well, why is he letting this happen? Don't we go there? Don't we always go there, guys? Why is he letting this happen? Why? Because we have to continually choose him. If it was that easy, and I'm not saying it isn't easy, but if it was his intention to have robots, to have these people or these beings that just bow down to him under duress, under force, because, you know, their lives depended on it, then he would have done this in heaven. When Lucifer was tempting all those other angels, he would have made them stay. He would have made them listen to him. He would have made them not fall as well. But he didn't. He always gives us a choice. Those people who come into churches and to groups to disrupt and distract, they have a choice to do that. They can decide, well, I'm not going to listen to the enemy. I'm not going to listen to him and do these things that are going to disrupt these people or say these negative things that are going to hurt these people's feelings. They have a choice. The same way those who come into the church and God plants a good seed in them, they have a choice whether to allow that seed to grow. It says one influence is working for the purification of the church and the other for corrupting of the people of God. I always say this as well, guys. It's so clear to see the enemy's ways sometimes, right? You can clearly see when there's someone who's in opposition. You can clearly see it, can't you? When there's someone who is just always negative or always trying to put things off or distract things or delay things. You can clearly see those type of people. But do we see the people who seem like sheep What did they say? They're wolves in sheep's clothing. You don't spot those ones very clearly. You don't spot those ones who seem so nice, so kind, so sweet. Yet still what they're saying to you is like poison to your ears. You don't see those ones. Those are the ones that deceive. Those are the ones that go on to deceive and corrupt. He says, although there are evils existing in the church and will be, hear us clearly, guys. Matthew tells us this. Although there are evils existing in the church and will be until the end of the world. Because who is the harvest man? Who is the harvest man, guys? Who is going to separate the wheat from the tares? Who is the harvest man? Are you guys talking about something else? Let me in. Who's the harvest man? Jesus? Yes. He is the harvest man. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. So when we're in church, we're not meant to be the ones who are, oh, this one is doing this, this one's doing that. I'm not saying you don't call out bad behavior, but I'm just saying you're not meant to be the one to do that, because they will exist. Those type of people will exist. Those type of people will exist until the end of the world. The church in these last days is to be the light of the world that is polluted and demoralized by sin. We are meant to be the light in darkness. The sin that is in the church, the same sin that's in the world, is going to be around us until Jesus comes. It says there is but one church in the world who are at present time standing in the breach. There's one. And making up the hedge and building up the old waste places. And for any man to call the attention of the world and other churches to this church, denouncing her as Babylon, is to do a work in harmony with him who is the accuser of the brethren. The whole world is filled with hatred of those who proclaim the binding claims of the law of God. And the church who are loyal to Jehovah must engage in no ordinary conflict. Let's read. Those who have any realization of what this warfare means will not turn their weapons against the church militant, but with all their powers will wrestle with the people of God against the confederacy of evil. What's it saying here? There is a church. There is one church that is doing what they're meant to do. One group of people, God's people, are doing what they're meant to be. They are building people up. They are making the hedge. They are building the old waste places. They are doing exactly what they're meant to be doing. And the other churches are literally calling that church or those group of people Babylon. The other churches are looking at this church doing what they're meant to do, and they are calling them Babylon and literally helping the accuser of the brethren. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan. So it's like, what are we meant to do? The church that is doing the right thing, what are we meant to be doing? We are meant to be not engaging in spiritual battles or war with these church militants. We are meant to be wrestling with God, with the people of God, against a confederacy of evil. We're meant to be telling them, this is wrong. This is wrong. Those who start up to proclaim a message on their own individual responsibility, who, while claiming to be taught and led of God, still make it their special work to tear down that which God has been for years building up and not doing the will of God. Be it known that these men are on the side of the great deceiver. Believe them not. I've said this so many times. I'm gonna break it down, Lise. I'm gonna break it down. Let me jump down.